It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies, feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
A lot to get to. And we ended last show discussing the Texans' record in prime time because the two gentlemen who host the show before me gave the Texans close, low-scoring wins. They both picked the Texans to win. And over the course of the Texans' history, those predictions fly in the face of who they have been. But then the thought was, what about this version of them, not the Gary Kubiak or Bill O'Brien teams, and of course the Lovie Smith, David Culley teams, but what about this team? So if we're using history as a predictor, the Texans are 3-3 in primetime in D'Amico Ryan's tenure. They are, in fact, worse at home than they are on the road, because if we remember, the only primetime game in 2023 was the win in Indy to secure the division. They split primetime games last year. They were 1-1 on the road and 1-1 at home in their four primetime games. And this year they're 0-1 because they lost to the Bucks. So there isn't a real trend either way. They're just okay. So if you were worried about Texans history, the one history under D'Amico Ryans is they do just fine. They're not great. They're not awful. And so we'll see what happens tonight. We'll get more into the Texans as we go forward. It is, I don't want to call it season defining, because I push back on the biggest game of the season stuff, because the next game will be just the biggest game, because you can't go to 2-5 if you're 2-4 and you really want to get above 500 now that you're playing well if they do win it. So we'll exclude that from the conversation. It's just a game that needs to be won because of the early start to your season. So we'll talk about that. But the actual news that happened over the weekend, because the Texans, Seattle, it's not news until they play. But Kevin Durant is signing or has signed the extension with the Rockets. He'll be here for several years. And that was always his want. He wanted to be here. He maneuvered the pieces to make sure he was here when a trade for him seemed imminent. And he signs a deal below market value. I think that felt like always to be the case, that he was going to come in under what he could make at the max. But he's getting a lot of flowers for it. I mean, the flowery language from Shams when he retweeted his own tweet with the quote, and then told everyone what Kevin Durant could make and what he's actually making. But let's hear from Shams here. Kevin Durant back, 2-year, $90 million extension. It leaves room for a potential move later that we'll discuss after the sound. But Shams was on SportsCenter, and when he was asked about Kevin Durant signing the extension, here's what he said.
Kevin Durant has reached agreement on a 2-year, $90 million contract extension with the Houston Rockets. So he now has a total of 3 years and about $145 million on his Rockets deal. His business partner, Rich Kleiman, tells me he also has a player option in 2027-28, but this sets Durant up to retire in Houston. His deal is, though, $30 million under the max contract of $120 million that he was eligible for, significantly less, but he understood when he chose Houston as a preferred trade destination in June that he'd be sacrificing money potentially for the long term in order to partner with the franchise, whether it was going to be a Houston, a San Antonio, a Miami. Ended up being Houston when he was traded from Phoenix, but this now gives the Rockets some team building flexibility moving forward, and Durant does lock in significant money here. And Jay, as a note, he is now the NBA's all-time leading career earners amount. So he's got the highest amount in career earnings in NBA history, surpassing LeBron James.
That tidbit I didn't care that much about.
Oh, take that, LeBron.
So be it.
Our guy has gotten paid the most over his career.
Yeah, it's not a factoid. Not a factoid that riles me up either way. So be it. And if LeBron signs another deal, if he decides he wants to play, he will surpass Kevin Durant. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, well, the real thing is like some guy who's like 25 now.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards will make more, maybe double more than any of them will, either LeBron or KD. It's just the way the money is being spent in the NBA. So he gets the deal. You heard what he gave up. And he mentioned also it gives them the flexibility. And that flexibility, we assume, is going to help them bring back Tari Eason, bring back or at least extend Tari Eason. Tari Eason is eligible to sign an extension up until 5 p.m. today. The Athletic report, if they expect that deal to happen, we'll see when it's announced, if it's announced. But Tari Eason is next in line to get paid by the Rockets. The Rockets are operating about $25 million under the second apron. As far as what that means, I don't want to like dive deep into it. It just limits your flexibility by a great degree if you're operating above the second apron. It's why the Celtics, after winning a title and then losing Jason Tatum to an injury, said goodbye to Porzingis and Drew Holiday because they didn't believe they're a title team. They didn't want to operate above that second apron, and they probably were going to do that anyway, even if Jason Tatum wasn't hurt, because it's prohibitive and it costs you a lot of money to operate there, and it also limits what you can do to improve your team or just move pieces around. So the Rockets want to avoid that. Almost every NBA team is looking to avoid that. So Tari Eason's deal will come under $25 million a year. We'll see what the exact number is. And we're having this discussion as we got into it in the previous show. If Tari Eason signs a deal to lock himself in long-term with the Rockets, of course a trade can happen at any point. But let's just go under the assumption that he doesn't get traded. It does kind of fly in the face of what he has talked about without proof of concept. He wants more opportunities, minutes, shots. He joked about perhaps getting one play run for him every half. He would like more of that. He has talked about it a couple times. I don't know that the Rockets are giving assurances about how they're going to use Tari Eason when he is slated to once again, sure, be one of their top bench guys, but be another bench guy. So if he locks in because, well, most people don't turn down the type of money he's in line to sign for, particularly with his injury history. And, well, as an NBA player, he hasn't probably proven as much as most guys who are going to get a deal of a stature, particularly when we talk about the Rockets. The Rockets like to negotiate. They just don't give as much as they can. But even his contemporaries like Jabari, you would say Jabari has proven himself as an NBA player mostly just because of availability. We know what they paid to Jalen before they traded him. So does Tari sign a deal in the $20 million range per year? I'm just throwing out a number. Don't know what it'll be. When he has stated that he'd like an opportunity to grow as a player. If it's 4 years, $80 million, or as just a random number thrown out there, I don't know that you turn it down. Even if it means you're still part of a franchise who won't guarantee you the type of usage you want. It's just a tough thing to do for a player. Do you enter restricted free agency after this offseason and just allow if he doesn't sign an extension, which is expected, if he goes into this year, plays it out, does he want to deal with what the Cam Thomas, Jonathan Kuminga, Josh Giddey thing that happened this past offseason where their teams weren't really locked in on giving them everything they wanted? So there were discussions about whether you're going to be a restricted free agent, whether you're going to play on the qualifying offer for a year and then enter free agency. Kuminga decided, I'll take the deal with the thought that you're eventually going to trade me and we'll do a short-term deal. Josh Giddey, excuse me, Cam Thomas is playing on the qualifying offer. He's going to enter restricted free agency. So there are different ways to go about it. We'll see what happens here, but it looks like Tari's going to get himself a deal. I just wonder where he's going to come in at, considering what he wants. But $80 million plus or whatever it'll be, it's hard to turn down. And I'm just saying, if it's only like a four-year deal, who knows what it'll actually be. The Rockets have gotten those guys to sign five-year deals at money that's comfortable for the team and has allowed them to make other moves. Tari's just next in line. And they've done a good job keeping who they want and trading off who they would like when they're trying to acquire someone like Kevin Durant. So it's just the next step in what Rafael Stone is doing. And then once this transaction is out of the way, then we're all in on the season and we got a game tomorrow. So we got a couple good nights ahead of us. We got Texans Seahawks and then we got Rockets Thunder.
Yeah. Two big days for Houston sports. The biggest game of both teams' season on Monday and Tuesday night.
Sure.
It's the biggest game of the season.
Sure.
Biggest game of the Rocket season, for sure.
It's the first, so yes, it is the biggest.
Ruin ring night.
Is it? Yeah, that could be the goal. I'm still interested to see how that's handled. The Rockets are going to have to stand out there while the banner goes up and the rings are handed out, and then they go do a short warm-up. How's that going to work out? I don't remember, because I rarely watch a ring night ceremony, so I'm not sure how that's handled, because Rockets haven't been involved, clearly, on their side of it. And I don't know how many games they haven't been good enough really in the last couple of years to be the featured team on the other side of a ring night.
Yeah, because even like, I feel like they never played the Warriors.
I don't remember the Warriors on opening night either. Maybe it probably happened. I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. And that's a NBC Peacock joint tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hear Round Ball Rock and we'll see the Rockets go in action against the Thunder. The question is Tyrese and a much richer man or simply a rich man? Because, you know, first round pick money is still great money. We'll see.
It is funny that all the reports are that, like, he will sign a contract. Like, he's expected to sign his extension before the Monday deadline. It's like, the end of the day to do it?
Yeah,
like,
what are we waiting on?
Yeah.
Why didn't it happen when the Blazers guys signed theirs?
Sign it, then what are we waiting on?
Yeah, the Blazers guys signed there. What are we waiting on? Why don't we just get this done? Yeah. Why wasn't it done on Saturday? Yeah.
Tumani Kamara could sign his deal. Why can't you, Tari Eason?
Maybe he's still negotiating on the role he's going to have when he signs his extension. What can you promise me 3 years out, huh? What can you do?
I like this. Like he's a college recruit. Of like, can you promise me my number? Can I get?
These are things that are important when you're 17 years old.
Can I get playtime?
Yeah. Am I?
Are you going to redshirt me?
Yeah. Am I going to get playing time? Am I going to redshirt? Can you tell me who the online recruits are going to be that are going to protect me for the next 3 years? Because I don't want to get harassed like a certain Arch Manning over the course of my playing career, which is not something Texas thought would be the case.
Hey, we talk football on Tuesdays, all right? College football on Tuesday.
Unlike the morning show who started with Arch's struggles, I didn't do that. Yeah. At least I stuck with the Rockets.
Yeah, because we have a structure here.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Arch that early. We're not looking for clicks. What? You want to ask? What's your question? How did that happen?
Yeah, I'm always surprised by what the first thing.
John was watching every Arch drop back on Twitter, and that's what got him going. I was like, really?
What?
Okay.
I didn't even do that.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you do that? He did it. And that led to the start of the show, the arch conversation, which is, it's a little burdensome to talk about Arch all the time. I get it, the name, whatever. But at this point, he's a lower level SEC quarterback. We ain't got to talk about him.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas is still scrapping. They won the game, thankfully, for Texas fans. A win that feels like a loss, of course, for some people. And you keep it moving. Just keep it moving, because Michael Taft told us.
Yeah.
How difficult it is.
Winning is hard. Winning is really hard. To quote Tom Herman.
Particularly in the SEC. So there it is. We'll see if the Tari Eason deal comes down before we go. Maybe it comes down right before the deadline. But that is the next transaction the Rockets can make or don't have to make, depending on how it goes.
Yeah.
What are we waiting on?
Rafael Snelling.
What is this, drama?
Procrastinating.
What's with all this drama? This should be done by now. Decision one way or the other. We should have heard word, but apparently it comes down
to
the wire.
They're waiting to announce it when, like, NBA Today comes on so they can get the breaking news.
Make sure
they talk about it.
I won't even say win the news cycle. Win that 5 minutes.
win that segment.
Yeah, Tari Eason isn't enough to drive a news cycle, but hey, win those 5 minutes. Have the NBA show talk basketball.
Have Kendrick Perkins and Boban talk about you for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think Boban's just on the show now, right?
I don't know. Is he just a member of the show?
I saw him a bunch last week on the show. I didn't know if that was just he's there for the week or what that was.
Good for Boban. Star of John Wick. Was it 3?
Yes.
All right, we'll go to break.
R.I.P.
We will hear from Ime Udoka on some actual basketball stuff when he comes back because the Rockets double bigs are a big deal for them, and he has noticed a trend in the NBA. But he discusses why it might be a little bit more difficult to copy what the Rockets are doing, considering how successful it's been. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And like we said, it's a big night in Houston sports, a big couple nights in Houston sports. And you can make some money on Prize Picks. They have a special offer for you, well, not just for you, for me as well. They have Stephen Curry, maximum discount of more than half a point on Tuesday night against the Lakers. So not the Rockets game, but the game afterwards. If you think Stephen Curry is going to score 1 point in his season debut, you can add that to your lineup and you're on your way to making a little bit extra money. For tonight, we have two Monday night games. First off, you have the Lions and Bucks. Got Baker Mayfield. Give me the more on his passing yards. 246.5. Give me more on Baker Mayfield. Push the ball against an injured Detroit Lions defense. And talking late night, Monday night, Seahawks, Texans. Give me the more on Jason Myers and Kaimi Fairbairn combined field goal made. 3.5. Give me at least 4 field goals in tonight's game. And then Nico Collins and JSN. Give me combined more than a touchdown. Give me more than half a touchdown right there. I think one of them gets in the end zone. If you like those picks, you can follow them. If you don't like them picks, well, download the Price Picks app. Make your own picks. Download the app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Price Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win that first lineup. The bonus is guaranteed. Price Picks. It's good to be right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So as you might have been able to tell, starting right around 8, there's a new sponsor, although not really new, they just changed their name, to the studio. So I'm thrilled to see how Michael handles it, particularly that long one where you play if I'm out doing something. I don't remember
actually
the pieces of that. Maybe he didn't make another one, or maybe he can put two things together where he doesn't have to do very much. But yeah, we got a new you can hear Huntington is the new sponsor for the studio. So if you're hearing a little different thing and you don't know what it is, that's what it is. It started at 8 o'clock, so Michael had to keep something available for 7 to 8. That was Veritex, and then right at 8 o'clock we could make the switch. So that's what's going on here. And speaking of nuts and bolts, there's something going on between some of our hosts and our social media account, the ESPN 975 Twitter account.
Oh.
Apparently, there's some trend, and the account is using photos of us looking tired or maybe overwhelmed in studio. Credit to the social team for finding a picture of Jeremy in studio. That must have been difficult, particularly to find one where he's looking.
Had to go through the old files.
Yeah, particularly one they actually had to find one where he's looking a little down. So it's Joe, myself, Lance, and Jeremy all looking a little perturbed or down. Mm. And And it's tell us it's only Tuesday without telling us it's only Tuesday. We're hanging in there barely. And as I said, it's all pictures of us looking a little disheveled or a little tired. And everything says it's been a long week. It's Tuesday. Of course, the problem with all that is
it's Monday.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
So because a picture was used that made us not look at our very best, there have been comments by everyone except for me because I don't care. I'll just make my comments here about it. Like Jeremy has seen it. John has seen it. Lance has seen it. I don't know if Joe has seen it, but that's a Sam creation. And I don't think she's in the office. Maybe it was a time tweet. And she just got the wrong date. But either way, unforced error by our social team. Enough so that everyone who saw it, at least as a host, made note of it. Jeremy was first, as you might imagine. Consistently on social media, at least on Twitter. All right, let's get to Ime Udoka, who may or may not spend very much time on social media. We know he is the coach of the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets didn't necessarily unveil this. But the double big has been something that they have used to great effect over, well, since Steven Adams has been available to do it. And they broke it out again to start a game. I'm still not quite sure who their starting five is. I guess it's going to be matchup dependent. Like, for example, tomorrow, I would not be surprised if they start double big, where we thought Reed Sheppard was the quote-unquote fifth starter. We will see tomorrow night in Oklahoma City. But Ime has noticed other teams trying to be like them. And he has some thoughts about it. Here's Ime Udoka on the double big trend.
Oh, yes, we've noticed it. I think even before we started doing it, when Steven was able to play those minutes, there are more, I think, double lineups than you think in the league in general. I think everybody talks about stretch shoot, stretch four, stretch fives, but we didn't have a problem at doing that because of some of the lineups that were able to do that. And it was copycat league, honestly. Someone sees something that works and they probably try to employ the same thing. So that more zone, we prepped for that, knowing how effective it was for us. And everybody's trying to be like us. They can't really do it like us, but take a little pride, I guess.
I would say he makes a lot of valid points, particularly the one where there are multiple lineups across the league where you're going to have two big guys. But the difference would be you don't have two bigs where neither one of them is considered a stretch five or four. We know Milwaukee did it for years, but Brook Lopez changed the way he played the game completely. He became a stretch five as opposed to earlier in his career when he was a down on the block four, or excuse me, five. Of course, Giannis being the four in that scenario. So I don't know many scenarios where you don't look at the two bigs and go, okay, one of those guys is a bit of a threat from the perimeter. Like, look, even in Memphis, when Zach Edey's healthy, they'll go double big, but Jaren Jackson Jr. is a guy who is willing and able to shoot from distance. So what the Rockets do is pretty unique. You know, Alpi has added to his game, but I'm still don't expect him, even on low volume, to be like a 37% shooter from three. It's just not what he is right now.
It's one of those things where it's like you see a couple clips of him doing it in summer, the Eurobasket and in preseason. And it's just like, hey, it looks good. Looks like he's taking them. We'll see when – I mean, there's an 82-game season. Like, we'll get the sample size.
We'll get enough.
Yeah, I don't need to jump on this early.
Yeah. So the Rockets appear to have a giant advantage there with the numbers that come
Everyone's
out.
Trying to be like us. They hate us because they aim us.
And they can't be like us.
No, they're not like us.
Yeah.
I'd even say.
In fact, not like us. The Thunder have a pretty good double big lineup themselves.
Not like us, though.
Well, yeah, because Chet's game ain't Steven Adams' game. You're correct.
It's a little different.
You're correct. You're correct on that. So maybe we'll see double big versus double big to start off. And look, the starting stuff is fun to talk about, but we know that the minutes played and the closing minutes, particularly in closed games, are what's going to matter. Now, if the double big is something that can't be handled and it removes close games from the equation, great. But I don't know that down the stretch if we're going to see Steven Adams and Şengün, once again, matchup dependent, but in a game where you're going to see guys run pick and roll late, because that seems like the only thing that gets done late in games is pick and roll to get yourself a matchup advantage. Like, for example, tomorrow night, late, the Rockets have played a great game, and it's close, back and forth game. Do I think that the Thunder will use Steven Adams and pick a roll and maybe get him isolated on Shea? Even Şengün will be part of that. I think a lot of the Rockets' strength last year was their flexibility, where you could have a guy like Jabari, even if you do get Shea on a switch. Jabari isn't going to handle Shea. No one does. But he gives you a better chance of defending the MVP than, let's say, a traditional big. So it's all going to be dependent on situation and opponent and what that opponent is doing to maybe pick at some of the flaws of your double bigs. But we know the Rockets use it to their great advantage on the opposite end, as they get, feels like, every rebound and they clean up their own board. So while it's game one and it'll just be fun to watch them match up against the defending champion, I do wonder if Ime, in his words about it being dependent on matchup, if that's going to play out, or will it be, no, this is just what we do because of how effective it has been when we kind of brought it to the forefront last year. So Rockets Thunder tomorrow. We talked about it in the first segment. Before that happens, we'll see if Tarisson's a much richer man than he already is. That's the big decision today. And, of course, we got Rockets tonight. Texans tonight. And we'll get to Texans talk when we come back. I don't know where to stand on this game, because on the road in Seattle feels like, oh, we're losing this ball game. It just feels like that. Seattle at home, good football team. This team in the Texans has found a way to lose against good football teams this year. Like, credit them. They played the Rams, who are at the top of their division, well. They played the Bucks, who are at the top of their division, to almost a standstill. They were 1-4 and long stop away from winning that game. And, of course, the Jags have devolved into being the Jags again. That game was a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson bad assignment away from possibly going into overtime. Of course, the Texans had their own chances, where Nico fumbles, CJ threw a bad pick, so the offense didn't play up to the standard they're trying to set. So, I mean, the two games against the two good teams, you lost the game to an average team, and then, of course, you took apart the two bad teams. So this would fall in line with, okay, you're playing a good team in the most hostile environment you've seen so far. What can you be? What can you do? So we'll talk more about that when we come back. If you want to get in on the show, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll take you up till noon. We will be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Texans in Seattle to face the Seahawks and Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold didn't finish great last year. That's partly the reason why Minnesota decided to go with McCarthy, who was unavailable because of injury, and now Carson Wentz is back to being Carson Wentz. And not like the 2017 one where we're talking MVP. We're talking Carson Wentz as the guy we've known for the last 5-6 years. The one who's on the street, or the Colts decided to give him a shot, and that turned out poorly.
Isn't like 6 teams in 6 years?
Yeah. He is what he is, and the Vikings are taking the brunt of it, and that's why they're now at 500, because he's not good.
Remember when the theory was that, like, J.J. McCarthy was so bad that this was like a shadow benching, that they made up something for him to sit out for a week or two? I don't think that's the case.
No.
I think
they've seen enough of Carson Wentz. I've seen enough of Carson Wentz to know, whatever you think of Kevin O'Connell, he's not that nuts.
Yeah,
he's not just benching his rookie to get Carson Wentz opportunities.
Even if J.J. McCarthy is, like, actually worse than this, just at least let him try to play through the mistakes and come through on the other side.
Yeah.
That would be better than this. The idea that Carson Wentz, I think we can call finished product in the NFL.
See, this
although it's dangerous.
This is what I wanted
to
get to.
I mentioned to do that. I
Sam Darnold because he's the bizarro Wentz where it all went poorly early, and he's found a way to bring his career back to a point where people are like, huh, all my priors on Sam Darnold before the draft, maybe I wasn't so wrong. Well where Carson Wentz got off to the great start in his second year and has been downhill really since he got hurt. Yeah. It's a league where Baker, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Geno Smith until this year.
Yeah, Geno Smith, as we have joked, finally wrote back. We have had these guys who we like tossed aside because of, well, we were wrong on that one. So has it changed? It's changed the way I will talk about quarterbacks. Like I have my biases and I'll joke about guys. Still don't think I'm wrong on Trevor Lawrence, but who's to say?
Kevin O'Connell
a couple years from now,
3 years, and
when he whiffs on McCarthy, he picks up Trevor Lawrence. Who knows? So it does plant the seed in the back of my head that maybe relax on condemning everyone so early, or applauding anyone really early because you just never know because you do have the Carson Wentz factor of it. And, of course, we're in a spot here with CJ on the other side of Sam Darnold where he was spectacular year one. Year two was a bit of a downturn, and the decision was made to get rid of the OC. And year three didn't start off great. And then you see the opponent change and maybe some tweaks, and now you played five good quarters. We can exclude the first three quarters against Tennessee because that looked like more of the same. But you played five good quarters, and now you get a real, I think, test of who you are. You're seeing a really good middle interior as far as the Seahawks are concerned. You've got Leonard Williams, and now I had the name in my head. Now I'm blanking on
Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy, Texas, right?
Yeah.
You have Byron Murphy there. A couple of their top guys in sacks. Owosu is their outside pass rusher. So you got some dudes there. They're healthier in their secondary, healthier than they were when they gave up a lot of yards, but no real points. I think they gave up 12 to the Jags, but they're getting healthier in the secondary. So you will face their best, and you'll face a crowd that, I don't know, depending on what's happening in Toronto, maybe more enthused or less enthused. That was the theory earlier. I don't know how that's going to work out. I think the 12th man will be fine no matter what's going on in Toronto, as it could be a great day for the city of Seattle sports wise or a terrible one.
Oh, I have a sports radio question.
Okay.
A sports radio hypothetical.
All right.
I'm assuming, you know, this is to an audience of Astros/Texans fans.
Sure.
One team got to win tomorrow. One Seattle team's got to win tomorrow.
It's the Mariners.
Right. You mean today? You want to send a division rival to the
Oh,
to
you
the
mean
World Series?
Oh, I thought you meant as a Seattle fan.
To Astros and Texans fans.
Well,
because the Texans, we've said they have to go 2-2 over the next four game stretch to like have a chance, and this is the only road game. So this is like the most like kind of losable of the spot. Although Mike McDonald as Seahawks head coach,
he's not great at home.
No, I think it was something like 4-8, something like that in the year and six games.
Year plus, yeah.
Yeah.
So if I'm a Texan/Astro fan,
do you want the Seattle Mariners celebrating their first ever trip to the World Series to play the Dodgers, or do you want the Blue Jays to win
and the,
and
but the Seahawks
that.
Win as but the Seahawks
yeah
win.
But then the Texans lose to the Seahawks or do you still, want the Texans win
but to you
and baseball's baseball who cares
I know what you're saying because if the Mariners win then it's Mariners or Dodgers so you're going to be pissed one way or the other team asteroid correct but you I'm going to go you had your shot and you lost the games as an the Astros had their chance to get ahead of this and get in the way and they didn't so I'm not going to say the Texans, who are still in season,
the sins of the father,
should have to need to suffer because
just because the Astros
because suffer. The Astros didn't get it done. I gotta go if I'm taking either or, I'm taking a Texans win
just
because
give me my team winning.
Because if the Texans lose, the season's not completely done for, but you're in a real tough spot.
Yeah, and the Niners, who you know you look at them, they're pretty beat up. Obviously, I mean they're always beat up, but their quarterbacks are both. Nursing injuries.
Mm-hmm.
The obviously they lose the quarterback of their defense with Warner going down last week, and they turn around. They not like they don't look awesome, but they look perfectly fine.
Yeah.
On Sunday Night Football. So there's a little bit of like, ooh, okay. But Broncos also win. But talk about a win that kind of feels like a loss, the Broncos game.
I think that's different. When you're down by as much as they were down, and then you give up a game-winning, what you thought was a game-winning touchdown.
It's so stupid.
It's a stupid way how they won.
How it all happened.
But scoring 33 points in the fourth quarter, that doesn't classify as.
Yeah, okay. But I think if you're down on the Broncos, you're like, yep, see. I know they won, but see. Just like,
if you have your doubts on them,
yeah.
for the better part of that game, you're for like, three quarters, they were getting their ass kicked by the Giants.
The Texans need to do what the Giants did, except make extra points and be slightly better in the fourth quarter. Or just make
slightly
extra
points. Better.
Just slightly better. You win.
I'm going to need
slightly better.
I'm going to need. I don't want a 33-7
differential.
If you give
up 27 points, that's better.
I don't want to see a 33-7 differential. You're right. But slightly better, I'd ask for much better. Just because slightly better means you're, what, it's 26-7, whatever the score, whatever the difference was in that game. So I'm going to need
two
the Texans.
Points better. That's all you need.
Sure, but are you going to be that much better in the
first three quarters?
Yeah, probably not. So let's
this Texans offense, you know,
this is hot. This is the point of this game. What's real? Was the last five quarters real? Where people are kind of excited about the small adjustments that Nick Caley has made, or when you see an actual real football team on the other side?
Yeah,
because what do I take from? What's the record? 2-13? 2-11?
There's two wins between them.
2-11? 1-6? 1-5?
One interim head coach.
Yeah, what do I take from that? You beat up on a combined 2-11. I know people don't like to use the college football thought process. When you play two awful teams and you beat them up, it doesn't really mean much because you're not all of your potential problems aren't going to be tested because these teams can't stack up because the any given Sunday aspect of the NFL. We've seen the Titans and the Ravens. Yeah. There's not a lot of any given Sunday in those two teams.
No good wins. No marquee wins. The playoff committee hates the Texans' resume right now.
Well, plus they're 2-3, so the playoff committee's not even considering that right now. No.
But, yeah, I agree that it's because it was the fourth quarter of the Titans game where it looked like they unlocked things, and it was the entire Ravens game where they look like they're playing on rookie mode. And then they just went away for a week.
Yeah.
So it just in terms of like days and hours, it has been a while since we've seen what the Texans offense has looked like the first three games of the season when they played decent opponents. Like you said, they played two good teams and one all right team, with the Jags being the all right team. The Seahawks, I don't know if this gets changed because we had almost an entire week's worth of action. But they were, I think, top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency in the league. Like, this is going to be a way harder test than, honestly, your first three games of the season. Like, this team
on the road,
is likely
the way they're
better
playing
than those teams. So, it's going to be tough, and I wouldn't be surprised if the offense looks like the first 3 weeks of the season, where it just looks absolutely dreadful out there.
Yeah, disjointed. You could foresee a couple false start penalties early. You could see offense who was gaining rhythm, stopping, and then trying to get it back. You could see some issues operationally very early.
Yeah, you did the equivalent of beating Sam Houston State. Like, that's the
and
equivalent.
And then you had a bye week.
Yeah,
and now you got
to
get back
going.
Now
you're going to the swamp. Good luck.
Well,
it's tough. So tough.
For some.
Sure. I don't know what Billy Napier won a game, got things turned in the right direction.
Allegedly, he was fired before the game even took place against Mississippi State. He was fired midweek, and they just didn't announce it.
What are we doing?
Why? It makes you feel better if they didn't fire a coach who beat you? Is that what you're doing? Okay.
What if the Texans had lost to Brian Callahan? That's the equivalent. Yeah. When's the, like, look at this bum head coach. Finally, they fired him.
Well, it was pretty good a couple weeks ago.
I get your point. I get it. But that's for tomorrow, as you
that
said.
That is for tomorrow.
We'll have those discussions tomorrow.
Why are we talking about Billy Napier?
You brought it up, not me. Billy Napier, out at Florida. Mm. KJ, we'll get to you when we come back. Hang on. You want to talk? You can follow him if you want. 713-780-3776. We're done with hour one. We'll get into hour two and talk more Texans. And we'll talk about the league as a whole because we mention the ridiculousness of Broncos Giants, but some other stuff went on. We'll get to that when we come back.